Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
This is my mom. Am I going to get paid for this?
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Morning Air is on here now on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John today. Big hour to get you up and on your way and going as we're heading through Lent. We're going to talk about something that you kind of ought to do sometime during Lent here and even more so on a regular basis during the course of the year as well. Let's go to confession. Kendra Von Esch joins us, regular guest. You will hear her story. Hear her story about confessions. We've got a story corner on the way. We're going to look at the Stations of the Cross this hour as well. Sarah, great to have you along this morning. You know, as far as Stations of the Cross, a great thing to participate in during Lent. One of my favorite times was many years of getting to read at a Catholic school as an adult because of Relevant Radio. Actually, go read to the second graders and, you know, end up going during Lent usually. And it wasn't a matter of, you know, reading some great spiritual work to them, but it was usually a book called My Mouth is a Volcano, teaching the kids about how to talk in turn. And so there was great practical benefit in the classroom, hopefully, from that. But a beautiful age, those second graders, old enough to generally all be looking in the same direction and not too old to start getting cynical about everything and not listening. So it was a sweet spot, I think, at least a few years back. Let's hope that's still the case. But would often go when they would do Stations of the Cross. So after we do a little reading and get to join the kids and go and see that. And they do a live Stations of the Cross with the young kids and the slightly older grade school kids. And as you know, going through the Lord's Passion, of course, is very moving. But one of the memories I take away from that always is how the guards, the Roman guards, as portrayed by these young Minnesotans, their helmets were actually gold spray-painted hockey helmets. And I thought that was just awesome.
Well, you know, you got to use what is lying around. And in Minnesota, I imagine there's quite a few of those helmets just lying around. So that is just great. Yeah. No, it's funny because I'm just jotting that book down. I need to look this up. My mouth is a volcano. I think that would be perfect for our house, too.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that tip. Yeah. No, Stations of the Cross is always a great, you know, especially Catholic school kids. They get to do this every week during Lent in their school. And I know my kids, the school that they go to, they actually have Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament while they're doing Stations of the Cross. So they do a little benediction at the same time, which is kind of like a twofer, which is pretty cool. And they invite parents to come in and be a part of that, you know, be able to be there during that time. And sometimes parents are able to get, you know, they're a little bit early to pick up the kids and do that, and sometimes not. But it's so nice to have that as an option. And it's, you know, just a yearly check-in to reflect on the things that Jesus did for us. And it's a perfect time of year to do that in Lent.
Well, and we think of some of the great movies about the Passion of our Lord, including the Passion of the Christ or Jesus of Nazareth, or there are so many others that really, you know, help us in a modern way to hear that story. But think of how many centuries where doing the Stations of the Cross was kind of the way to learn the Passion story of our Lord. And so that carries on. We're going to talk about that. How about that? What a segue that we're talking about that this half hour. Father Chris DeTomo joins us. Father Chris is pastor of St. Mary's Church in Huntley, Illinois. Hey, good morning, Father. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Glenn.
You don't happen to have any hockey helmet wearing children playing guards in your church, do you, by any chance? Or
no? No, although that sounds very resourceful. You know, it's true. You do have to use what you got when you're doing these great devotions, and we do have a very good. Our youth group does offer up shadow stations, where we use just one scene and we backlight it, which is very beautiful. We do that once a year during Lent.
Just love that as an adult coming into the church, as an adult convert, just love that because the Passion of our Lord, you know, always caught my attention as far back as I can remember. And, you know, one of the things we think about is how, and we'll be talking all about the stations here over the next half hour with you, Father, but, you know, at what age kids can kind of absorb some of that or we expose them to it or how gently? I mean, the station's obviously not as graphic as plunking the kids down in front of a Mel Gibson movie, But kind of a great way, isn't it, to introduce them to the real meat of the story of Christ?
It is, I think, because, you know, one of the beauties of the Stations of the Cross is, of course, it's physical nature. The fact that we do try to, you know, when it's not too large of a group, we actually try to walk each station. And it gives children a sense of just walking with Jesus, you know, walking with him, accompanying him as was making the way of the cross. And I think children instinctively can kind of understand that, you know, that they're walking with, they're following Jesus, they're with him, and they're stopping. With that sense of wonder and curiosity, they stop at each station, and they, you know, we kneel and stand again and meditate. And I think it is a really good devotion for children.
Well, let's take a little time and just, you know, maybe re-energize folks to attend, even if they're not little kids who kind of automatically would go during school, but as you and I kind of walk through those stations today.
Yeah, I think the beauty of, you know, and this is, again, there's so many things in our church's tradition that involve what we could call pilgrimage, because we essentially are pilgrims. You know, we are traveling through this world. This world is not our ultimate home. We're traveling on the way to heaven, so we're making a pilgrimage. And the Stations of the Cross are a moment of prayer that we experience that sense of journey or pilgrimage, following Jesus, as I said, stopping, meditating, and just trying to imagine, you know, what it would be like to see what he went through, to enter into with our imagination, to hear the voices of the crowd, and just to know, it strikes in us, first of all, just a great love for what our Lord did, what he underwent in his passion for love of us, but also, of course, that call which we have from the gospel, which we have from Jesus, if you wish to be my disciple, come, take up your cross and follow me. So we know that we can bring our own. Everyone has their own crosses. We all have our own suffering. And I think something happens when we pray the Stations of the Cross. We realize that our suffering has meaning. Our crosses have meaning because we unite them to the cross of our Lord. And that could be it could be a consoling thing for us and help us to offer, you know, our own suffering up as well.
Well, Father, it really helps us to hone in on the point of it all and Christ's suffering, but also, you know, how can we not go through that experience doing the stations without great humility, realizing, taking the time slowly to contemplate every step of the way.
Yes. Yeah, and it does. It slows us down. It makes us realize that the meaning and the power even of the small things. You know, everything on the way of the cross that our Lord went through was important. You know, well, you can think about how present he was when Veronica comes to wipe his face, for example, that station, and to the sixth station, just to think about how present Jesus was to Veronica as she approached him and how he loved her and the beauty of that moment. It can help us remember the beauty of every day, the beauty of every moment we experience, even as we carry crosses too.
And I think too, as we go, we might be struck differently every year or every week or whenever we go. I think back, I mentioned the Passion of the Christ film a minute or two ago, and the part of all of that really, you know, teared me up the most maybe was, you know, when Jesus falls with his cross and Mary is watching that, and she flashes back to imagining him as a little boy falling down and wishing to comfort him. And, you know, to think about that and how, you know, it hits us differently maybe each year as we go through.
Absolutely, because I think, you know, we're different all the time. So the different moments of the way of the cross will hit us differently. And also just thinking of all, like, it's a very good point to think of the perspective of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, as she witnessed Jesus's passion. And it's so the way of the cross is also a way for us, you know, it's a way also for us to connect more deeply with Our Lady too, yes.
What are some of the things you do to encourage people to partake at your parish?
Well, we do the Stations of the Cross at my parish twice a week during Lent. We do it Tuesday mornings after our daily Mass, and we have a pretty large daily Mass crowd after our morning Mass. So we just take advantage of all the people that are already there. And then on Friday, we have stations in the evening. So that's a chance for us to, of course, get some people who maybe don't have a chance to go to daily Mass, or they maybe normally only come to Mass on Sunday, but this is a chance for them to do an extra devotion to deepen their preparation during Lent for their preparation for Easter. And, of course, at that Friday station, we actually have music as well. So we'll play with the organ. We'll play, like the Stabat Mater, the famous hymn devoted to Our Lady about the way of the cross. And it's very popular. It's very popular for a lot of people to come out and attend the stations.
Talking about the Stations of the Cross today, doing that with Father Chris DeTomo. He's pastor at St. Mary's Church in Huntley, Illinois. If you've got questions or experiences you'd like to share, feel free to reach out to us this morning as well at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Kind of a little tangent, but talked about this with a priest the other day. As far as vocations go, we think during Lent is such a impactful time for our faith and helping us to think more deeply about what this is all about. In your experience, if you run into times, maybe even a chance to converse with young people who might feel that call a little more strongly during Lent leading up to Holy Week?
I think so, because, Lent leading up to Holy Week, of course, is when we really focus on the central mysteries of our faith. And, it's that time, I think, that young men and women are thinking most about how can I give of my life? How can I give of myself in imitation of Jesus? Certainly Lent, you're really focusing on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the three pillars of Lent. You're focusing on sacrifice, and it all leads up to Holy Week. And I think, with Good Friday, young men and women think about how can I make that complete gift of my life, that gift of myself, as our Lord did, and then what does that look like concretely? What kind of life is that? What vocation is that? Is it marriage? Is it being a parent? Is it the priesthood? Is it consecrated life? So, I think it is a natural time for vocational discernment and listening to the Lord, his voice in your heart about what he's calling you to do.
I think for me, way back in terms of really the impact of the story of the Passion of Our Lord, the movie Jesus of Nazareth came out and hit TV about the same year I was getting confirmed, back in mid-late junior high, and that really stuck with me, and that was kind of like a 1-2 punch, kind of learning the basics, being old enough to understand some of those basics about the faith, in addition to just showing up and really starting to understand it and then see it portrayed on film. And, still remember, the Lord looking right into the screen at the very end, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age." And it's like, yes, you are. I remember writing Jesus Lives in my math book, some graffiti. I was so impressed by that. And this was in a public school, too. But as we continue our conversation, Father Chris DeTomo, and talking about the Stations of the Cross, is a good practice maybe too to, like we talked a little bit, to put ourselves in the place of one of the characters, any one of them, as we're going through the stations.
Absolutely, I think it's a lot like the devotion of Lectio Divina, praying, prayerfully reading Scripture, because the use of our imagination, and this is, we could find this in like Saint Ignatius of Loyola and other saints and spiritual writers, using our imagination, the faculty of our imagination, is a great way to enter in more deeply into whatever we're meditating on, and that allows the Lord to speak to us. I think, whether we say, I'm going to look at this station, maybe I'm someone who's just in the crowd, when we get to the station where Jesus dies on the cross, to say, maybe I'm seeing this from the perspective of the good thief, who entrusted himself to the Lord at that moment. It's when we do that, when we put ourselves in the story, then we really are, we open up our hearts to what's going on. It's a way to not be just removed and to be a disinterested bystander, but to really say, what would this have been like? What would the sounds have been? What would have, the feel of the air, the wind, the darkness of the sky, you know, and to really allow ourselves to kind of be there. And I think the Lord uses that. He can use that to speak to our hearts.
Father, for radio and in real life, end up, you know, talking with lots of priests and conversations kind of this time of year, I ask once in a while about, you know, as a priest, you know, busier during Lent with, you know, more things on the calendar, Stations of the Cross, penance services, and things like that. But how does Lent kind of hit you differently each and every year in terms of even the Stations of the Cross might be something that, that hit you a little differently a certain day?
It does. And, you know, I always think I kind of laugh about how I observed Lent before as a layman versus being as a priest, because you are very busy. You're doing a lot of things for other people. You know, you're in the confessional, you're leading devotions and prayers, which is good. But when you're leading, you're still always kind of conscious that you have to lead things. And there's that responsibility and there's busyness to it. But I still back remember when I was ordained by Bishop Thomas Doran. When he told us, one of the things he really recommended to us to do is the Stations of the Cross. And I have to admit, I haven't always, I've loved that devotion, but I haven't always been super faithful to it. And so for Lent, for me, it's thinking about the beauty of the priesthood. I love my priestly ministry. There is crosses associated with the priesthood. There's, you know, like there is with any vocation, any life. And so, you know, you bring those in. You bring those into your own prayer to think, you know, part of being a priest is it's following Jesus. And we actually, one of the promises that we make at ordination is we promise to conform our lives more and more to the mystery of Christ and the cross. And that's a powerful thing. I think one of the promises is, do you resolve to be united more closely every day to Christ, the high priest, who offered himself for us to the Father as a pure sacrifice, and with him to consecrate yourselves to God for the salvation of all? That's one of the promises, and I read it because I actually have it on my, I have the promises we make at ordination on my bathroom mirror. So like when I'm brushing my teeth, I think about the promises I made at ordination, and I try to make that intention to live those out. But so as priests, in a special way, we're called to conform our lives to Christ crucified. And so, yeah, I mean, when you bring that into the stations, it hits you in a special way, I think.
Mm. As time flies here, just time for one more quick question, Father. But
sure.
Thinking about this time of year is a really good time for evangelizing others who might not come very often to church, or maybe not at all. But even in our modern culture, this time of year, the conversation can come up about what's going on, excuse me, with Lent and with Easter and all of that. And I think of the stations as something that might be easy to invite someone to because, well, they've most likely heard of this story before, and it's just kind of a different way for them, if they haven't been exposed to it, of portraying that story.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea because even, you know, some people can be intimidated with going to Mass because Mass involves, they're like, oh, what, you know, when do I sit? When do I stand? I don't know if I haven't been to Mass in a while. It's a little awkward, or there's so many people. They might be intimidated. But the stations is a beautiful thing because, hey, come to this thing. It's, you know, it's going to be 30 minutes. It's a little bit shorter. And, hey, we're just going to be in church and we'll probably stay in the pew. The priest will go around or the deacon will go around to all the stations, but this is just a great way to just once again hear the story of Jesus and maybe where you fit in, you know, what he did for love of you and how you can apply the lessons of the Passion to your own life. I think it's a great way to evangelize and invite someone.
Well, Father, we appreciate your enthusiasm for the Lord so much, sharing your time bright and early this morning. And if you'd be so good as to share the time that you guys do stations again there in Huntley, Illinois, for those who might be in the area.
Yeah, sure. So we do them on Tuesdays after our 8 o'clock Mass in the morning. So that's probably about 8:45 or so by the time we start. And then also on Fridays at 7 p.m.
All right, very good. That's at St. Mary's Church, Huntley, Illinois. Father Chris Duccomo joining us this morning. Thank you so much, Father. Coming up, we're going to talk confessions. Kendra Von Esch will join us for a lively discussion. New Story Corner on the way before the hour is through. That's all on the way here at Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Good morning, waking you up here on the radio. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John today. His morning air continues here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. It's the eve of St. Paddy's Day, making our way through kind of the middle of Lent here. We're going to talk about some of those good Lenten practices, like, let's see, how about getting to confession? We're going to talk about that a little bit. What's that like to get all the kids in line for doing that, those old enough to partake there, Sarah?
Oh, well, I think I shared a little bit of this earlier in the week, but we tried to go to confession. We tried to go to confession last weekend with the kids, and my husband was still at work. So I was like, here we go. Load everybody up try to get all the accessories that you might possibly need, because, you don't know how long the line's going to be and everything, and you don't want to disturb others. And there's a lot of wiggles going on with the little kids, right? So you're just trying to do your best and, trying to get the older ones kind of mentally prepared, and then also yourself prepared, right? You have to go in there and do it as well, which is, so great and wonderful. And I always try to, couch it with, there's going to be ice cream after, because we get to celebrate this wonderful thing that we get to do, that Jesus gets to clear everything off of our soul, and we're ready to be closer to him and everything like that. So it can be quite a challenge. But you know what? I think with other people who are hopefully, in a good disposition, because, they're in the same boat as you, sinner, right, standing in line there, that sometimes they enjoy seeing, if they're not behaving too badly, they like to see those kids there, because it's kind of the future, and it's also kind of brings a smile, like, oh, I remember when I was like that, or I remember when my kids were like that. So try not to be too afraid to just kind of go in there with all this. It's very intimidating, and I am always very apprehensive about doing it, but you just got to do it. It's rip that Band-Aid off and get in the confessional and bring the kids if you have to. You have to be able to get that off your chest. It feels so good.
Yeah, well, it certainly does. In that whole idea, hey, there's ice cream waiting when we're done, and we kind of, when we stop and think about it, can feel like that too. It's like, maybe better getting around to doing it. But then when we're done, we're walking out with that lightness and, walking out into the parking lot and everybody walking in, if it's the penance service, looking kind of dour. But you're looking happy because you've had your turn already, hopefully. And Kendra Von Esch joins us. Now, Kendra, do you get all wiggly when you're in line for confession? Do you get ice cream afterwards?
I think my ice cream is the grace that comes out. Trying to watch that weight, especially during Lent, and stay away from those sugary snacks that I've been trying to, keep away from on this journey. But yeah, I do. I definitely do think it is a treat afterwards. And the more I can share it with people, the more I want them to have that treat, because it's better than ice cream. And you and I and Sarah all know how awesome that is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you've got a great story to share, especially during Lent here. We encourage people, and we do year round, it seems, a lot of encouragement to get to confession. So many of the voices you hear on Relevant Radio encouraging all of us, encouraging one another to do that. It's kind of the one time of year we're really supposed to, if we don't on a regular basis. And then you'll hear so many good reasons for going on a regular basis. And one of the more beautiful things we hear about confession is stories of people that often come out as miracle moments. You hear some of those during our Relevant Radio Pledge Drive, stories of how people have been nudged to get back to confession for the first time in a year, two, six, 20, a long, long time. But it's going to be good. You're not going to get yelled at for not having been there in a while.
Thank you for saying that, because mine was 26 years, and I was not looking for God. I was a totally worldly person, so I'm kind of speaking to anyone out here or out there who's listening and is like, oh, I don't need confession, because I'm shocked. During my journey and being in ministry and going and speaking to hundreds and thousands of people, about my testimony, but a whole bunch of other things, I am so blessed that God actually shows me the fruit of some of my talks. One woman who is a daily mass goer came up to me in Baltimore, and she said, because of your testimony, I just went to confession after 53 years. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my goodness, right? A daily mass goer. And I just would have never thought that could happen, because I think confession, for me at least, is the second greatest sacrament outside of the Eucharist. I need confession. But I was So I just want to share that I don't care how long you've been away. She grabbed me. She hugged me. We both cried. Her friend was there because her friend came up and talked to me. And she's like, will you talk to my friend? She hasn't been to confession. And it is just beautiful. So that's what I'm hoping, that everyone who's listening hopefully has a tug in their heart to go to confession, because it is so beautiful. It's so freeing. And you honestly will float afterwards. I don't know one person that has regretted going. But I want to talk to the people who don't think they need God or are just tripping on this beautiful radio station. There's a reason why you're here and why you're listening to this right now. 42 absolutely. Years of my life, Glenn.
As an adult convert, too, and I apologize for mentioning that all the time, but it kind of plays into these things we talk about and how you experience those. And it's something that, you know, as good as RCIA training was, you know, there wasn't a lot of concrete. As little kids, you might get to practice a little more confession or, you know, okay, I'm naughty and I got to say sorry and, you know, relate to it. But as jumping in as an adult, I love to hear stories of, you know, people who've gone, what it's been like, haven't gone for a long time, what that was like. And so we're very happy to have you share your story right now.
I'm a confirmed Catholic, and I say that in quotes because I didn't know anything. So if there are people out there who are quote-unquote confirmed Catholic, but they don't even know who Jesus is, like me, I didn't know that Jesus was God. I just thought Jesus was God's son. I also didn't know that Jesus was in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I had no clue. And the sad thing is, I did not know why Jesus died for us. How I was confirmed Catholic is beyond me. So if there's anyone out there who's nodding their head or laughing, saying that was me, you're in my boat with me. So my whole life, my parents were very worldly. We were not practicing. I'll say we were creasters, those Christmas Easter goers, right? The ones who steal your seat every Christmas and Easter when we go. That was it. So I didn't think about God. We didn't talk about God. God was not in my life at all. I didn't think I needed him. So I followed what the ruler of this world told me. Go climb that corporate ladder. Take pleasure in everything. Life is short. It's stressful. So go ahead and drink and do drugs and be promiscuous, commit adultery, be addicted. I mean, all these things were a part of my life. And oddly enough, I thought, well, this is what life is about. I must be happy because I made it to be a chief information officer in corporate America, executive suite. I made it. But my life was even worse. I had more anxiety and worry and stress. And then I had a pivotal moment where I got a call and my father went in for quadruple bypass surgery. And it was the first time, Glenn, that I ever prayed for somebody else. And my dad came through with flying colors. It was a miracle, but I was one of those 9 lepers that never went back and thanked God. I just went along my life, you know. Actually, I made it about me. I was my own Holy Trinity, by the way, me, myself, and I. And so I looked at myself, and my husband and I were like 10, 15 pounds heavier than we should be. And so I was watching Dr. Oz. I'm sure people know that show. And there was this diet book. It was a cleanse book. And as I was reading the cleanse book, there was this pie chart that had little segments of your life. And one of those pieces of pie said spirituality. And I didn't even know the difference between spirituality and religion. I didn't know the difference between Catholicism and other Christian denominations. I kind of at that point in time only thought there was Catholic. I didn't know the difference between Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, you know, the New Age stuff that's going on out there, spirituality that's flourishing. No clue. So when I saw that piece of the pie, I thought, okay, I'm cleansing my body. I might as well cleanse my soul. And I didn't tell my husband because I didn't want him to freak out, but I thought I'll go to church. Now, I wasn't going to go to the Catholic Church, by the way, because I didn't enjoy Mass. It was painful for me. Why? Because I didn't know what it was about. If someone had told me that I was receiving Jesus, which I'm sure I heard somewhere, I had to have heard somewhere in my CCD, I hope, but I didn't remember it, I may have had a different outlook on Mass. But I decided I was going to go to what I call a big box church. And then a whole bunch of things happened where I ended up going to the Catholic Church. And this is almost 10 years ago this Easter. So in 2013, I walked into the Catholic Church and I had an amazing experience at Mass. And then the following Sunday, which is Divine Mercy Sunday, beautiful graces come your way on that day. I had no idea what Divine Mercy Sunday was, but I was called to go. If you want the whole story, check it out in my book, because it's pretty long and it's funny, and I'm sure you'll probably cry. That's what people put on the Amazon review. But I went in with, so I didn't know what to do. And this is for everyone out there who hasn't been to confession in forever, and they're like, what do I do? Well, you can go online and look it up. How do I go to confession? Which I did not do. I just grabbed an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and started writing down all of my sins. And I covered both sides, and I don't write very big. I just kept writing and writing and writing. And then I folded that thing up as small as I could because I didn't want anyone to see. And then I drove to the church. Again, this church that I've never been to before. And I was early. They were finishing the Spanish Mass. And so I was the first one in line. And I didn't know what to do. And so I was scared to death as I was watching the priest walk into the confessional and that little green light went on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go in there now. You know, I was so scared. You want to know why? Because you just said it, Glenn. I thought I was going to get yelled at. I thought that he was going to give me a butt whooping in there, and I had no idea what penance was coming. Like, I've done horrible things. I've broken every commandment. And people out there are like, oh, she murdered someone? Yeah, I did. I took birth control for 20 plus years. I am sure there was a baby growing in me that I murdered with that pill. No doubt. So I had all, at the time, by the way, I did not know that birth control was a mortal sin, so I did not take that in. I took that in later as I learned more about the Catholic teachings, but I just wrote as much as I possibly could, and so I was so uncomfortable. This is what I did. I knelt down, and I only knew what to say because of the movies. You know the movies, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned? That's all I knew. So I say that, but I say it in a joke. I go, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Get a load of this. It's been 26 years since my last confession. I make it a joke. I'm laughing uncomfortably because my voice is kind of shaking, you know, because I'm about ready to cry. And he said in the most beautiful voice, welcome home. Oh, Glenn, I just started bawling. I mean, I couldn't breathe. The tears were flowing down my face, hitting my page. I could hear them going, tsh, tsh,
oh, wow.
Tsh. It was like someone turned a faucet on my face. I just couldn't stop crying. And by the way, there wasn't one Kleenex in there. So I was like taking all of my snots and my tears and my makeup and, you know, wiping them on my shirt. I was a total mess. But
well, we're gonna pause right there at the messy part and come back and hear how this all turns out. A great inspiration to get back to confession. Kendra Von Esch, our guest for this portion of Morning Air, will continue in just a moment here with more from Kendra here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Good morning. Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio. Glad to have you along here. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John today. Our story quarter coming up in just a little bit. Right now we continue our conversation with Kendra Von Esch, talking confessions and what it's like to go back for the first time in decades. Oh, and we're at the point now where that long list of Kendra's sins is being washed away literally and figuratively, from the tears and from the forgiving power of Christ through the priest there. Okay, when we last left off, Kendra, you were telling how you were suddenly surprised to be welcomed home.
Oh, yes, totally surprised. Again, like I thought I was going to be yelled at, and this was not going to be pleasant. And the minute he whispered those words, and I will never forget the tone, it plays in my ears all the time, I just had all of my fear washed off of me, literally through the tears, as you mentioned. But I knew that God loved me. I knew that there was a God. It was the first moment that I had total clarity. Like, oh my goodness, what is happening? I felt evil just wash away from me. And that is what the sacrament of confession really is. I was in so much mortal sin. I was listening to Father Lambert. He's an exorcist priest. And he was sharing that we can be in what you call perfect possession. When we're just doing what Satan and his minions want us to do, there's no reason for them to mess up our lives because we're playing along. And I believed all the lies of what the evil ruler of this world told me to do. So I did not know this at the time. I didn't realize the spiritual war that we are in, but those demons were being washed off of me. And As I went through, okay, Glenn, I got to share this. I did a general confession, and that went from all the way, like I had, at 7 years old, I stole a Hello Kitty eraser from Hallmark. I mean, that's what I had on this list. So if you have a general confession, make an appointment, because I think I was in there for like 20 or 30 minutes. On Divine Mercy Sunday, that's a long time because there was a line outside the church when I got out of there. So make sure that you are, you know, aware of how much time you may spend. And you'll probably get better counsel if you have a one-on-one. You could still keep it anonymous. You can, you know, make an appointment and meet the priest in the confessional. That's okay. Just a heads up to everyone. So I'm in there and I'm talking and I'm feeling so much better. We're walking through some of my sins. And then it comes time for the act of contrition. And I have no idea what that is. He goes, okay, now pray your act of contrition. And I laughed and I said, you remember it's been 26 years, right? Like I have no idea what you're talking about. And he goes, it's taped on your kneeler. So I was so relieved. Some of the confessionals have it taped and some don't. So what you can do is just go online, take a screenshot of the prayer. It's not very long. Keep it available on your phone just in case. And if not, that's okay because the priest will actually walk you through it. I've had that before myself where I hadn't had it memorized yet, but he walked me through and that was great. So that was another moment that I completely felt light from my head to my toe. I had this warmth, this waterfall of peace. And then I was filled with this joy. My whole body was so light and airy. I couldn't explain it. Well, you know what it is? It's the Spirit of God filling us. That I had no clue at the time. But I literally floated out of that confessional. And at that time when he was absolving me of my sins after my act of contrition, I cried again, unbelievable tears of gratitude. And I got in my car, I turned around, I looked at that church, and I was in a pivot point of my life. Oh my goodness, that was God. I looked at the Catholic Church's doors and I said, and he's in that Catholic Church, that faith that I've run away from my entire life. What am I going to do now? So at that moment, the Spirit filled me with this unquenchable thirst to learn about the Catholic faith. Because if God's there and what I experienced, I believed was truly God, I want more. So that's the start 10 years ago. And in 2018, I had to leave my career and get out there and share this beautiful faith that we have and how merciful Jesus is. So if anyone out there is having a little heart tug, you know, today in the responsorial psalm, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Get on out there, find a parish. By the way, that Relevant Radio app is beautiful. If you go to the upper right, you click pray, and you go down to Mass Near Me, it takes you to masstimes.org, and you can find adoration, you can find Mass, and you can find confession just by entering in the zip code and the day. So it's really easy.
Absolutely. I think the easier we make it, the more people will come. And I love that description of what it felt like to have your sins forgiven and to realize that. And then to think of your response to that. And it's not a matter of, okay, I'm going to determine in my own power to do X, Y, and Z good things. But when we feel that forgiveness from our Lord, when we feel that lightness, that new start, that makes us want to do all kinds of great things in gratitude, doesn't it?
Amen. Amen. And I do want to tell people that it wasn't this, for me at least, I know some people go to confession and they have a complete change of heart and they never go back to who they were. That wasn't me. I experienced this beauty and I couldn't stop talking about it. So the very next day, as a matter of fact, my office was extremely cancerous, I should say, very toxic. Three companies were merging together. Everyone was throwing each other under the bus so that they could have the job. And it was bad. So I walk in like skipping, like Snow White, throwing, you know, rainbows and lollipops everywhere. People are looking. Now, I'm the worst gossiper in the whole office, by the way. And everyone's coming to me and saying, what is up with you? Are you on another diet? Are you working out? One woman asked me if I was pregnant because I was glowing. I had the Holy Spirit in me. And all I could say, because I really didn't know the faith, all I knew was it was the Catholic Church and confession. So I was saying to people, I don't know. I must be a super Catholic. I went to confession yesterday and it changed everything. And then that opened up the door to people to come in for many, many years while I was still in the business world, from all ages, from my peers to, you know, younger children. I call them children. They're 26-ish. That's a child to me. But, yep. You know, it was great. Yeah, I thought so. But it was wonderful. So the gratitude of sharing, but also knowing that when I would fall again, because in my journey, I found out the very first week that Jesus was the Eucharist, and I was needing to be in a state of grace to receive him. So that was 1 week into my journey, I realized, oh my gosh, I have to go to confession to make sure that I can receive Jesus. So I was going every week because I kept falling into mortal sin. So this was my long journey. It took me about a year, year and a half maybe, for God to truly bring me through some of those horrific patterns that I had set myself up for so many years. But I must have needed it. His ways, his timing is perfect. But now being on the other side of all of that mortal sin is so freeing. And so that's what I'm saying to others, hoping to portray that confession is a cleansing, but it's also teaching us. We are there saying those words. The priest doesn't need to hear them. It's for us. So go, everyone. Please, you will not regret it.
Well, Kendra, we thank you so much for sharing that just beautiful story, and it's getting over the hump doing that, kind of obeying that tug that we know we ought to go. The guy on the radio, the lady on the radio, they're talking about it all the time, to get around to it. And you had a beautiful experience of really feeling different afterward, but also to let people know if, you know, they go every once in a while, or they don't have that great experience, even if our faith is not based on a feeling happily, but on facts as well. So an encouragement to go and experience that forgiveness, whether you feel like it or not, whether you're feeling that or not. And odds are over time you will be feeling those good feelings too. But because it is the right thing to do, right? We ought to do those right things. Hey, Kendra, you're up to lots of things as a blogger and a writer and a speaker and all of that. If folks would like to find out more, we've got a couple of seconds for you to let us know where they can do that.
Oh, sure. You can go to my website, KendraVonEsch.com, and just go to the contact button and reach out, and we'll take it from there.
Excellent, excellent. Always great to hear you on the air, and thanks for sharing the stories that are tough as well as completely happy, and the ones that start out tough and end up happy, oh, they're the best of all. But thank you so much, Lord willing, talking again very soon. We continue now with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app with today's Story Corner. Our story today, called Not Home Yet, by Joseph Mazzella. I love the story of the old missionary couple. Now, this couple went to Africa to serve as missionaries right after they were married. They planned to serve only a couple of years and then return home. They soon fell in love, however, with the kind people that they had come to help. So they stayed on year after year, setting up a clinic and a school, helping the people build a sanitation system so they could have clean water, teaching children to read and learn, sharing their faith and love daily with the villagers they cared so deeply about. Finally, after over 50 years of faithful work, failing health caused the couple to decide to come home again. They wrote to their hometown community and church to let them know when they were coming. After sailing several days, they arrived in the port community they grew up in. They smiled when they saw a large crowd cheering as the boats anchored. Their smiles and hearts fell, though, when they saw the crowd was there to cheer a local politician on the same ship. The old man told his crying wife that he was going to ask God in prayer why, after so many years of service, not one person was there to greet them when they arrived home. He went into their cabin for several minutes and then came out with a peaceful and joyous smile on his face. His wife asked him if God had said anything to him as he prayed. Yes, he replied. He said, "You're not home yet." This is something we should all remember as we journey through this life with all of its challenges, pains, and struggles. We're not home yet. Home is the place where our loving Father awaits us. Home is the place where our true reward lies. Home is the place where the love we learned, the good we did, the joy we shared will reside in our souls forever. Rejoice in your life here, then. Love, help others, and be happy. The lights will be on when you get home. John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." That's our story today. Feel free to access the Story Corner each and every day if you like, or, you know, just the good ones. You can do that on the Relevant Radio app. Great way to share the story and other things, too. Also available at relevantradio.com. Just look up the Glenn Story Corner section. Facebook has it, too. There's a Glenn Story Corner Facebook page with the audio and the text every day available for you later on in the morning. And we welcome your suggestions. Send them to morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. Some stories you might have come across or even written yourself. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love for you to stick around for more of Morning Air. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk dispensations for St. Patrick's Day. Get after that corned beef in a lot of spots if you like. Father James Kubicki is along, and we'll take a look at marriage prep. Fully Engaged with Chris Cotton. That's on the way after the news next here at Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.